It's like a trumpet call summoning the faithful. It's the sound of tires being deflated on an old wagon loaded with fishing equipment at South Beach on Martha's Vineyard off the coast of New England. You deflate the tires, our guide tells us, so you're not the jerk who gets stuck or ruts up the sand. And you go off-road, with a permit, of course, because you want to get to the best surf casting possible. Our guide is Paul Schultz. Everyone here knows him.
Hi, Beverly. Hi, Randy.
We're riding the beach on our right, the dunes on our left. Oh, it's beautiful. Paul is a legendary angler featured in the definitive book Reading the Water by Robert Post. Earlier this fall, he offered to take me out to a part of the island beachgoers don't get to see and to share some tips on surf casting, that's fishing the ocean from the shore. But as you'll hear, fishing is not just about fishing. For instance, very often it's about stories about fishing, and Paul's is a whopper. It's about a tuna.
It sounds like, you know, Arlo Guthrie's Alice's Restaurant. It's a tale.
What happened is I was coming fishing. It was, middle of November, and I saw the fish laying on the side, on the beach.
900 pounds.
Yeah, and I said, you know, my father would like to see something like that. He was still alive.
So Paul's dad and then some friends began the work of getting the 900-pound, still-fresh tuna off the beach. It could feed the whole island. But this work took hours, ropes, pickup trucks, a come-along, those little hand winches. Finally, they set off for town, where word had spread.
There was a guy that was he was sitting on Main Street having a beer, and we pulled up alongside. He gets on the CB. He says, have you seen Paul Schultz and Ralph Case? 1 o'clock, and they had hooked up to a fish at Waist Creek, and they were fighting this fish. And this guy said, well, they just got in. You ought to see it. They're on their way to Laurie's Fish Market to weigh it in. So nobody in their right mind ever thought they were going to see a 16-foot, 900-pound tuna fish in the back of a pickup truck. So we got up there. And there's got to be 20 cars up there waiting for us. And the police gave us an escort straight up Main Street against the traffic at 2 o'clock in the morning. And we took it to the fish market. And so that's what got us in trouble.
Long story short, they were accused of the Great Tuna Massacre. A fishmonger brought the dressed fish to Boston to sell, but the tuna quota had been reached. Government officials launched an investigation to see if the fish had been caught illegally off a boat. A great hue and cry rose up. The fishermen were grilled. The fish sat in a freezer till just about now, the week after Thanksgiving.
Like I say, I told Coop the other day, I said, if I find another tuna fish, you guys can have it. I get a note, caught by world-famous angler Paul Schultz, too big to take home, enjoy. Any luck?
Hey, how you doing? We haven't seen anything here today. It's been slow.
Okay, where were we? Oh, yes, driving down stretches of mostly deserted beach, passing the infrequent fishermen, all of them spot Paul and bring him fresh intel.
Hi, Mark.
Mr. Schultz, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Anything out there?
A little bit. East Beach. Keith is doing pretty well on East Beach, picking it up as he walks.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
All righty, Mark.
In the distance, we see a seam of foam from the beach out to sea. This is two sides of the ocean crashing into each other as well as the shore.
It's a riptide up here. That's where the two waters come together. See, if it's rising, the tide's going to be going right to left, and the waves will be coming left to right. And if it's falling, the water will be going left to right, and the waves will be going right to left. And that they meet, and that's the riptide.
Oh, man, I hate riptides.
Well, we're not going to go in.
Yeah. And what does the riptide do for fish?
It brings them in. Here's a bait. It'll get in there.
So the riptide brings the bait in, and then the fish follow the bait?
Yep.
What's the bait out here?
This is silver sides and stuff. There's some squid around, too.
So, what's your lure?
It's a piece of metal. It's a minnow, a little minnow. So, stand on my left.
Yeah.
When you cast, you just release. And if you cast out and you're right-handed, If it goes off to the right, you let it go too soon. If it goes off to the left, you held it too long. You don't have to make a lot of movement. Just come back. Just flick your wrist and there it goes.
What's the longest you've stood in one spot casting?
7 or 8 hours. But you don't stand on one spot, you move. So I always tell people, take 5 or 6 casts, 10 casts, then move a few paces one way or the other. You come to the end of the sandbar, and that's where the fish are, at the in the end of the sandbar. So.
But still, 7 or 8 hours. Yeah. What are you thinking about?
I'm just fishing. All right, we're going to go get a key to the lighthouse.
Okay. Well, that's the other thing about fishing. It's often about exploring. In this case, Chappaquiddick, which curls like a flexed arm around the eastern end of Martha's Vineyard. We climbed the beautiful, refurbished Edgartown Lighthouse. We saw the fenced-off beach area, once used for test bomb runs during World War II. Now, because of beach erosion, bombs are surfacing and being carefully harvested by Army officials.
So this is where they're finding these World War II bombs. Danger, do not enter, unexploded ordnance.
Is that the Chappie Bridge?
Yep. Yeah, that's it. They put rails on it now.
We drove over the thin wooden bridge that Senator Ted Kennedy drove off in 1969, his passenger, Mary Jo Kopechne, drowning. It prompts another memory for Paul.
When they had the 40th anniversary in 09, a television crew that... Well, what do you think? What happened for you when you, July 18th of 69, when you woke up and you heard about the Kennedy accident? I said the same thing that I thought of the rest of the year. I said, what's that? Keeping my men alive. I was a squad leader in Vietnam. Oh, I don't want to talk to you. I said, I thought about my guys.
So, fishing is also about restoration. During our drive, Paul says hi to other Vietnam-era vets, and he welcomes younger veterans from the Wounded Warrior Program when they arrive on the island. Paul gets them out to fish. You were telling me you had some effective Agent Orange on your hands. Or
brachial neuropathy, killed all the nerves in my hand.
How do you fish?
I reel with that hand.
Is there any connection between, you know, coming back from Vietnam and finding something in fishing?
Well, it's easy. It relaxes me. You know, seeing all my friends. You know something? There'd be many a nights I'd be out there fishing with somebody and we'd be on the beach and I'd say, uh-oh, there's somebody down here. Come down 100 yards, there was two guys fishing. I had the sense.
You mean you had the sense from being in Vietnam?
The sense that somebody was there.
Yeah.
Hey, Janet.
And fishing is fellowship. We run into another famed female angler, Janet Messineo. Oh!
What are you doing, Impia?
So, tell me what I should know about surf casting.
Just to keep your line in the water. You know how to catch a fish? The way you catch a fish is you go fishing. You know, put your line in the water. Fish.
So, we do. We head back to the rip, where the word is blues are being pulled out. And as we cast, one almost is.
Oh, there's a fish. There's a fish on.
Oh, yeah, he's got one.
Oh, he lost it.
Should
have walked it down instead of fighting it right there against the tide. He should have walked down this way. You just say fish on and the guy will stop casting and you walk by where he is and then he'll go on that side of you.
That will be our last lesson for today. Walk a hooked fish down to calmer waters. Other anglers will let you pass.
I think I signed your book for you.
As we head back to town, Paul cites Brad Holly, whose wife once had Paul sign a copy of the now out-of-print book Reading the Water, which features Paul, as a gift for Brad. I asked Brad, what is it about Paul's fishing that's won him such respect?
Well, I mean, I think it's legendary. I mean, you really have to read the book. It's the Bible, if you will, of Martha's Vineyard fishing. And if he hasn't told you the story about the tuna, I'm sure...
We heard the story about the tuna.
Well, there you go. That in and of itself is legendary right there. But, you know, the other thing that, you know, we've never met, but I have his cell phone number. He's offered to take me fishing and all this other kind of stuff. So I think that that's as much, I think that says as much about him as just about his fishing prowess.
His generosity.
Exactly.
Yes. It's a day in which you don't get any fish, still a good fishing day.
Oh, yeah. A bad day of fishing beats a good day at work.
Well, what am I going to cook?
We'll go to the fish market.
Because again, fishing is not necessarily about catching a fish.
Right there.
It is. It is a
oyster catcher.
Right there. Oh, yeah. I wish my phone wasn't dead.
Two of them.
Yep. Orange bills, long orange bills, black backs, white bellies.
Yep.
Not one fish, but lots of memories. Our surf casting day with angler Paul Schultz earlier in the fall. And by the way, they're still casting. Word is late season stripers. You're listening to Here Now.